Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Esther chapter 4. In verse 14, Esther is talking to Mordecai, her cousin, and he raised her. And he says to her, after the Jews have been put into very serious danger by the king's top general named Haman. Haman hated the Jews. Haman was very wicked. And he thought he would get ahead himself by attacking the Jewish folk. And Mordecai, who advises her, and she's now the queen, he says to her, because it's very dangerous in Babylon for the Jews, he says, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. In other words, God will use somebody other than you, but your father's house will perish, and that's her family, not just her family, but all that is hers. She will not get away from the trouble. She will not protect and preserve herself by cooperating and being silent when the attack against the Jews came. She could not preserve herself. She could not preserve her family that way. Not taking a stand at that time was a very dangerous thing, is what Mordecai is saying. However, he's telling her, you have the ability and the opportunity to help. And then he continues, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You don't know, but Esther, you may have become the queen of Babylon. You may have married the king. You may have gone from being a poor little Jewish girl who nobody knew and became the queen of the nation that rules the world strictly for this time. This may very well be the plan that God has, how God will use your life to protect people, to protect Jews, to protect the kingdom of God, to save people, and so on. Young people, you may be here for such a time as this. There is a specific call on your life. Make no mistake about it. God has a purpose and a call for you. God has a will for you. God has a plan for you. There is absolutely a wonderful plan of God for your life. You don't know the details of that plan because you cannot see the future. Not only can you not see the future, we cannot even completely understand the present. We may know what's going on around us directly, but we don't know what is going on that we cannot see. However, regardless of what you know or what you don't know, you may be here at any given moment for just this time, for such a time as this. You may be the very answer that God has for whatever is going on right now. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 16, God raised up judges who would deliver Israel. Judges were not like what we think of as judges today, these guys in a court with robes making decisions about who's guilty and who's not. That's not the type of judge that existed back then. That word means something different. That word means a leader, so somebody who would govern the nation, or sometimes somebody who would rescue the nation. Could be a general, somebody who would go to war to protect the nation, or it also could be somebody who delivers the nation in any other way. So today, the equivalent of judges might be a great president who's very godly and turns the nation back to the ways of God, or it could be some military leader who protects the nation against an evil force coming against us to take away our freedom. It could be a great preacher like Billy Graham, for example, who wins a lot of people to Christ. All of them have their place in the kingdom of God. All of them can become people who deliver the nation. Or it doesn't even have to be a nation. It could be God's answer to a situation. It could be somebody who comes into somebody's life to help them and turn them to God. That's the kind of an idea it's talking about when it's talking about judges. Judges deliver. And in verse 18 it says, when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge. In other words, God was using this person. Sometimes we get into a situation and we don't know what to do and we don't know what to say. Don't worry about what you're going to do and don't worry about what you're going to say. Respond to God in faith. What that means is receive the word of God and respond to the word of God that you receive. Trust it and use it. Make your decisions on the basis of the word of God. God will be with the person he raises up. He always is. You are raised up for a purpose. You may not know the fullness of the purpose yet. Nobody does. Not the fullness. As certain things come about in your life and you continue in the will of God, some of that will become obvious to you. And then you'll be able to recognize it. But you still won't know the fullness of it until you go home to be with God, until you're in heaven. But God will be with the person that he raises up. He'll give them wisdom. He'll give them skill. He'll give them all the ability that they need in order to carry out his perfect will. You might be in a situation, whether it's good or bad, doesn't really matter, but God may be raising you up for such a time as this. Let's say that things aren't going well. You may be in that situation precisely because God knew it wouldn't go well, and he's raising you up to be somebody who he uses in that situation to glorify himself, to help other people, to bring other people to Christ, and deliver in various ways. That's a part of God's plan. When you come into something and it challenges you, or for that matter, when you get into something and it blesses you, recognize that you have been chosen by God for such a time as that. You've been chosen for the blessing. You've been chosen for the challenge. You have been chosen for all the situations that you're in. You were chosen for such a time as that. And when God chooses you, and he did, that's why you're there, he will be with you in it. Don't worry what you know or what you don't know. Don't worry about what you can do and what you cannot do. Don't worry about how smart you are or maybe you lack smarts. Don't worry how much wisdom you have or how much wisdom you lack. God will be with you in every situation because he's raised you up for such a time as this. So he will give you the wisdom and he will give you the skill and he will give you the knowledge and the ability and all the other things that come with being chosen by God for such a time as this. In Matthew 5:13, young people, you are the salt of the earth. Salt today is used as a seasoning to give a certain flavor to food, but that's not really what it's talking about. Salt in those days was used to preserve food so that food wouldn't spoil. So when he's saying you're the salt of the earth, you are the one who preserves the community, the nation, the church, the family, the people who are around you, and indeed your own life. You have been chosen to preserve that which you are involved in, that which surrounds you. You have been chosen to be one who preserves, who keeps it from going bad. And then it says that if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, if the salt loses its quality and it's no longer able to preserve, who's going to preserve the salt? So this puts a certain responsibility in our lap. This means that we have to guard our heart with all diligence. This means that we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. To guard your heart in Proverbs 4:23 means that you keep it like a prison warden. That's kind of a strange way to look at somebody's heart, but it's actually very descriptive. What does a prison warden do? A prison warden is very careful about who leaves, but also about who comes in. And so a prison warden is always careful to keep that which is supposed to be there and not allow it to depart. And the prison warden is also very careful to keep out that which shouldn't be there and not allow it in. We're the same way. We guard our heart like a prison warden. We keep the things in our heart that God wants in our heart. We keep His word. We keep the love of God. We keep the thoughts of God. We keep the character of God. We keep those things in our heart, in our frame of reference. And we don't let other things in. Sometimes the world, through different means, like maybe television or ungodly people or ungodly music, they want to put things into your heart that God does not want in there. That will damage you and it will damage other people. So you don't allow those things in there. You're careful about what you look at. You're careful about what you listen to. You're careful about who you hang around with. You're very careful to protect your heart. And you keep yourself in the love of God. Now, verse 14 of Matthew 5 says, "You're the light of the world." The love of God in Jeremiah 31:3 is what draws people to God. So when he says, keep yourself in the love of God, he means be one of those who knows that God loves them so much that they're able to express the love of God to other people, and by that, other people are drawn to God through that person who's keeping themselves in the love of God. You become the Christ that people can see. And you become the reason why people will go to Christ, why people will get saved, why people go to heaven instead of hell. You become the reason why people learn about God. You become the reason why disciples are made. And you become the reason why other people can receive the love of God and the Word of God. You're the light of the world. So keep yourself in the love of God. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, it says right there in Jude 21, you look for mercy. You look for mercy for yourself first. If something goes wrong, maybe you make a mistake or bad things happen in your life, you look for God's mercy for yourself first. But then also, you look for ways to show the mercy of God to other people. You don't judge them, you're kind to them. You're not negative towards somebody, instead, you're patient with them. You don't think evil things about people, you think the best. You always choose the godly side of things toward other people. And you're showing them the mercy of God. But first, you choose the godly side of things toward yourself. And you keep yourself in the mercy of God. And by this, you are the light of the world. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, you're the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells within you. Sometimes we ask ourselves, especially in difficult situations, why me? Sometimes people who get really blessed will also say, why me? And the reason is simple. If you're in the situation because God lives in you, then God will be in the situation. Sometimes Christians can go through some very difficult things. Why them? Because without them, God is not there. Without them, the love of God can't be shown. Without them, the comfort of God cannot be expressed. We are the arms and the legs of God. If God desires to hug somebody who's suffering, then He does it through a Christian. He expresses that love, even sometimes physically, with something like a hug. Because that person is his arms, he'll use that person to do it. Sometimes God wants to say something to people, but they don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit for themselves yet. And so God will send a Christian, and the Christian may not even be aware that it's going on. But God will send this Christian to speak to somebody. Because God wants to communicate with them, and because you are there, He is there. Young people, always remember this one thing. You are in any situation that you are in because God desires to be in that situation, and He is there through you. You're the means by which He enters into all your situations. That's also why He can never leave you or forsake you, because He's living inside of you. You're the body of Christ. You can't go somewhere without your body. God won't go somewhere without you. Your body cannot go somewhere without you. God can't go without you either. God is there because you are there. It's that simple. God is there because you are there. Why me? So that God would be there. You have been called for such a time as this. And you've been called into that so that you could be a preservative, especially for people in that situation. You can be a light to the world, no matter what the situation. And God is there because you are there. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.